Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and hi to everybody listening today.
And our guest today is Stephen Monk Dalton. You may have read something about Stephen. He's in the process of going on a long walk. It's called the Walk Across Borders, Raising Awareness of Parental Abduction and Alienation. And Stephen is walking from Spain.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Stephen. And Stephen's walking from Spain to London. He's in France at the moment as we speak. He's taken a pause from his walking for a moment to just talk to us in our program today, and with that aim of raising awareness of parental abduction and alienation. Stephen, perhaps we could start off. You could tell us where exactly you are today.
Okay, yes. I just actually the last couple of days left Bordeaux. I've walked over the Pyrenees and right the length of Spain at the moment. So yes, we're just north of Bordeaux at the moment.
And how are the leg muscles?
I have a few aches and pains, but not too bad. But that's to be expected, doing about around 26 miles a day.
Well, that's about 42 kilometres in our measurement,
around 40 to 42 kilometres.
Yes, and are you getting support from the local people as you're walking through?
Now, we've had more support from the Spanish people at the moment. They've been fantastic. They were fantastic on the way up. It may be the language problem, because I'm not a French speaker at all. I speak a little Spanish and also English.
Well, Stephen, we have in the studio Ken Thompson, who's had a similar experience, except he did the luxury way. He did it on a bike rather than walking. But I'm sure Ken has got some war stories to swap with you.
Hi, Stephen, and it's really great to be talking to you. I've been following your journey, as you know, through your blog on Facebook, and
yes,
a lot of other people in Australia are getting behind your walk as well. Now, one of the reasons you're doing the walk is to raise awareness to international parental child abduction and parental alienation, of which child abduction is probably one of the most extreme forms. But you're also raising money for an organisation called Reunite. Could you tell us a little bit about Reunite?
Yes, Reunite are a charity based in England that support parents support families that have been affected by parental child abduction. They provide an advice line that will help parents and put them in touch with the right people if their child has been abducted abroad.
Reunite don't just focus on families whose children have been abducted from the UK. Reunite provide support and advice to parents all around the world. Reunite was an organisation that provided me with a lot of support while I was doing a very similar thing to you. So I think it's great that you're doing this walk and you're raising awareness, not just within your own country, but internationally as well. And we're really hoping that people get behind you and start to or continue to provide money to Reunite as part of this campaign.
Yes, yes. I mean, last year alone, Reunite International received 17,000 phone calls. It just shows you the extent of the problem.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. It's a big problem in Australia. It's a very big problem all around the world, and it's becoming a much bigger problem. People are now referring to international parental child abduction as an epidemic. You may not know that Australia actually has the highest per capita rate of international parental child abduction in the developed world. So it's something that we're very interested in this country about raising awareness to. Now, your daughter was abducted on two occasions. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. She was actually abducted 6 years ago and then returned via the Hague Convention, or compromised by mediation with Reunite. And then a year later, every devious means possible through the legal system, like three false allegations and everything else to give the opportunity to take my daughter again. Now, unfortunately, when I've been trying to go through the correct court proceedings in Spain and in the UK, seems that nobody knows what to do about these situations, and that's part of the problem. Is the fact that even the people in the legal system don't know how to cope with parental child abduction.
What's your experience been with the Hague Convention, which is the only legal mechanism for having children returned?
Yes, the first time it worked for me when my child was abducted the first time, but the second time, my ex-wife made a false allegation of domestic violence, and that put temporary care to my ex-wife. That's the law in Spain. And basically, that gave her the opportunity to just remove her abroad again. So the second time, the Hague Convention didn't work because this small court in Orihuela actually gave her permission to, well, not permission to remove, but put care in with my ex-wife the second time. So that gave her the opportunity to take her abroad again. So the Hague Convention didn't work for me the second time.
Was your daughter taken to Spain on both occasions?
No. We actually lived in Spain. We live in Spain.
Okay, so your daughter has
11 years.
So your daughter has been abducted to the UK on two occasions.
Yes.
Okay, and the difficulty you're having is not on the Spanish side, from the sound of things. It sounds like the problem has been on the UK side, which, in my experience, is quite unusual.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the problem. But it was the Spanish system that actually started off by giving that interim order that caused the initial problem, because that gave the opportunity to take my daughter away again, not taking into consideration that she'd already been a victim of their parental child abduction.
And so where are you up to now with the English courts? Is your case still before the courts, or has that case now been closed off?
No, I've been trying to fight through the courts for the last 5 years, and it seems to be every time I go into court, it's one deception after another deception, and this is part of the reason why I'm doing this walk now. I mean, this is obviously my daughter is my biggest motivation, in the fact that I haven't seen her now for 5 years. I also see my daughter's grandmother, who is becoming frailer by the day, and this is the time. My daughter's 10 years old now, and I just need to do something to raise awareness of these issues, because, well, she's 10 years old. We 5 years have been stolen from her life.
It's a horrible situation that the children have been put into, and in your case, it's quite an extreme form of alienation, given that you haven't had any contact with your daughter at all during that time, by the sound of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It seems that they keep moving to the most remote paths as well, and hiding behind the protection and things like that, you know, so that they always become hidden behind some sort of door, if you want.
Yeah. Is your walk receiving any media coverage in the UK?
At the moment, I've been quite disappointed with the media coverage in the UK. However, the Spanish media have been fantastic at the moment. But I believe there are a few the UK media interested. They're just waiting until I actually reach British soil.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. The media really takes it's an international problem, but the media always take a national approach to it. So they tend to only focus on the story when there's something related to the abduction that's actually happening in their own country.
Yes.
I guess what you're hoping for is that the media in the UK will become aware of your walk and will raise awareness about your walk, and through that there'll be some public interest. And I assume that you're hoping through that public interest there might be some political interest as well, which could then flow into the legal system.
Absolutely. That's what I'm hoping for.
Stephen, how old is your daughter now?
She's 10.
10 now, so, yeah, so you haven't seen her since she was 5.
Yes, that's right.
We're going to take a short break now. We're going to go to a song that I think is appropriate. It's called I'm Walking by Fats Domino. And that was I'm Walking by Fats Domino. And we're speaking today with Stephen Monk-Dalton, who is engaged in a walk across borders, raising awareness of parental abduction and alienation. And that means that he's walking from Spain to London. He's presently in the middle of France, and he's taken time off from his walk to speak to us today. You were just explaining the difficulties in getting the publicity. Well, when you decided that this was the way to go, to start on this walk, what did anything influence you to go this way?
I mean, I've always said that I would do anything for my daughter. I'd walk across borders for my daughter, and that's where the name came from. You know, I would go to the end of the earth for my daughter. Like I said, it was her 10th birthday in August this year. It's been 5 years since I've actually been able to see her. At all, and with her grandmother being quite frail at the moment as well, this is the reason why I've done it. I mean, obviously my biggest motivation is my own daughter. When I've been going through what I have, I've spoken to so many other parents that are going through similar problems. So that was a motivation as well, in the fact that something is wrong in the system and something needs to be done.
Why did you choose to walk? I mean, other than you said that you would walk across borders for your daughter. The reason I'm asking the question is when I was doing something similar to what you're doing, I was riding a bicycle and I was interviewed by the media in Germany, and the reporter asked me why I was riding a bicycle and why I didn't just drive a car around Germany. And my response to him was, well, would you be here interviewing me if I was driving a car? And he said, no. So
That's right. I mean, you need to. I mean, it has to be something quite extreme to raise awareness. And hopefully this is extreme enough. I'm walking from the two courts that have been involved in the removal of my dogs from Spain, which is Orihuela Court and the Royal Court of Justice in London.
Of course, the good thing about what you're doing, and I did a very similar thing, is that people on the street, the regular people, become very much aware of the situation, because they see what you're doing, they see any T-shirts that you might be wearing, they see perhaps in your case a car where you've got some posters on the side, and they become curious and they come over and they ask you questions. And it gives you lots and lots of opportunities to talk to people about this issue. And the important thing is you don't really know who you're talking to. You could be talking to the local shopkeeper, or you, for all you know, you could be talking to a high court judge. You just don't know.
Absolutely. But to be honest, that doesn't matter to me. You know, the fact is the issue is the issue, and it needs awareness, because it is a silent abuse that the parents are going through, and some quite often, you know, people don't realise until we're actually, you know, it's put in their face.
Yeah. How far have you walked to date?
Up to now, I've walked 600 and, I can't remember what it was, 600, it's over 600 miles now.
In how many days?
25 days. I actually broke the 1,000-kilometre mark yesterday in 25 days.
That's pretty amazing. I think anybody who's listening to this would realise, you know, what an amazing feat, and that's not meant to be a pun, but, you know, sort of what an amazing feat that is to walk that distance in that time. And I understand that your goal is to get to the court in London and walk continuously for 44 days.
That's right. 44 days. And then I will be outside the court in London for a day or two as well. You know, I will stay outside the court in London for a couple of days as well once I reach London.
And what do you hope will happen when you arrive at the court? You say you're going to be outside the court, and I assume that you're hoping that you'll be able to get some media down to the court on that day. Is that what you're trying to achieve?
Yes, I'm hoping to get some media down at the court, and we can actually realise that that some of these issues that are occurring here, and hopefully also that it may bring my daughter's case back into the courtroom as well.
Yeah, look, I've got to say, when I was doing my journey, the media in the UK were very, very good, and I think the reason they were so good was because I was doing something that was quite unique. And I stood out. So I'm really hopeful that the same kind of principle will apply in your case, and that the media does take an interest in what you're doing, and they help to raise awareness to not just your situation, but to the situation of lots of other parents, and of course the children that are in exactly the same situation that you and your daughter are in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're speaking with Stephen Monk-Dalton, who's walking across borders, raising awareness of parental abduction and alienation. Now, Stephen, I understand you've had people have joined you at different stages along the walk. They've perhaps walked a mile or two with you along the way?
Yes, they have. I even had some friends from back home that must have travelled about 300 kilometres just to surprise me on the day in northern Spain. It was very nice of them. But yes, some people are just tagging along and joining me en route once they find out what I'm doing.
Yes, I don't know whether you saw the movie Forrest Gump, but I think he was something similar. He was sort of running across America, and he seemed to gather a crowd behind him. So I hope that's similar, and by the time you get to London, it's snowballed a bit.
There are a number of people that are supposed to be joining me in the UK once I hit UK soil as well. So that's the support that I'm receiving from there, from what they've said, that they're going to be joining me. Then that's fantastic, because at the moment I have 30 or 40 people on the last couple of days.
Oh, that's great. Not so lonely. And you know, are you expecting this might put pressure on the people with your daughter? That, you know, if you're on TV, for instance, and they'll recognise you and they'll think, well, maybe it might influence them to actually put you in contact with your daughter?
Yes, I'm hoping that is the case. It's been 5 years. I've tried so hard to do things in the right way and go through the right systems and speak to the right people. But it just goes on deaf ears. You know, it's been so hard because I have tried to do things in the right way.
Mm. Do you know where your daughter is, Stephen?
I do know where she is now, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, there's a possibility that when you hopefully get the media coverage that you're looking for, that she might see what you're doing as well and start to ask some difficult questions of her mother and the people who are around her at the moment.
That's right. I mean, at 10 years old, she'll be a little bit more aware of things that are happening around her. If I'd have done this before now, it may have been a little bit too young for her.
Yeah. How do you stand legally in terms of identifying your daughter when you do arrive in the UK? Because I understand you've got a restraining order in place, which is going to make it difficult, if not impossible, for the media to actually show any photographs of her. So I guess all they'll be able to do is show images of you, and hopefully she will recognise who you are.
Yeah, I have received photographs from the school that she's attending, which has been fantastic of them. And so I have the up-to-date photographs of her. But yes, I'm hoping that she will have these memories, because the first 5 years of her life was spent at home with me. I mean, her mother actually walked out to have an affair. And so it wasn't as if, we'd done anything wrong. She came back, a few months later and decided that she did want to be a mum after all. And, it's just been so difficult, because I've tried to do everything in the right way, through no fault of our own. We don't have that relationship now.
Yeah, it's a common theme. Of people, trying to do the right thing and suddenly finding themselves in a system that is a really difficult system and a very expensive system to work in, and a system that doesn't always deliver the result that you think should be the right decision. So it's really good that you're out there and you're raising awareness to the problem.
Yes, that's right. But it seems to be every time you go to the courtroom, you have one deception after another, and then... Like I say, it's demoralising. You really put your trust in the system to do the right thing, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah, look, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there is a psychological profile for people who do this kind of thing. And one of the key parts of that profile is the deceptive nature of the people. And they're often quite skilled at deceiving not just people who are close to them, but, people in authority as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. My ex-wife's case, she has an older son as well, but he doesn't see his father either. So it's not the first time that's happened.
No, and the fact that this is the second abduction fits with the profile as well, because they're generally people who've abducted a child before, or their own child before, or have threatened to do it. They lose confidence in the legal system that they're in. They think they can get a bit better deal in another country. Quite often they're suffering from quite severe psychiatric disorders. Often they've been undiagnosed. And they tend to see the children in some ways as a way of punishing the other parent for something that they believed has happened, when in fact, in a lot of cases, nothing's happened at all.
So, Stephen, we're hoping you keep up the fight. I mean, you've got all our sympathy, but I think it's a bigger problem. It's a bigger issue, because there are a lot of parents around the world getting caught up in this international parental abduction. So I asked you if you could select a song for us. I wonder if you could tell us which song you picked and why you picked it.
Yes, okay. I have a very good friend of mine in Spain called Shani Ormiston, and she's a songwriter, a singer-songwriter, and she wrote a song called Brave. And I think it's quite relevant to anybody that's going through some difficulty in their life or anything, because it forces them into the situation where they have to be brave. And parental alienation and parental child abduction is no exception to that.
I think you've got a Facebook page that people can go to?
Yes, if you go onto Facebook and just put in Walk Across Borders, you'll find my page. It's www.facebook.com/walkacrossborders.
Well, we're doing everything we can over here, Stephen, to get people in Australia and in other countries to get behind your campaign. to follow you and to hopefully make some donations to reunite as well. And we wish you all the best, and we really hope that you do have some success, and we really hope that you get to see your daughter sooner rather than later.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, so this is Brave by Shani Ormiston.
Another night, all awake, lying, crying off my face, all these worries and disgrace of today. Another heart has stopped its beat, another soul has lost its heat, as children die in misery every day. This world is crazy, intoxicating, suffocating, devastating, heartbreaking, breathtaking. We all need to be brave. For a human race, will there be a time we care where our colors join to be heard? We need courage to be where we are. This world is crazy, intoxicating, suffocating, devastating, heartbreaking, breathtaking. We all need to be brave.
And that was Brave by Shani Ormiston. So it just remains for us now to give a special thank you to our guest, Stephen Monk-Dalton.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And congratulations, Stephen, on what you're doing. As you pointed out before, you're not doing this just for yourself and for your own daughter. You're doing it for all the other parents, and there are thousands of them around the world, and the children who are victims of international parental child abduction.
If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our previous shows, go to dadsontheair.com.au. And in the meantime, it's goodbye from Dads on the Air, and we'll see you again next week with another show.
Goodbye, everybody.